This is the Art of the Hudson Valley, broadcasting locally on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Greene, and Columbia Counties, New York, and streaming globally online at WGXC.org. And I'm your host, Chad Weckler, and today we have a local artist, Tom McGill. Tom, we've actually barely met and spoken before, so this is a sort of a real conversation for the first time that we get to share with each other. But welcome into the Hudson studio.
Thanks, Chad. It's great to be here.
So, Tom, what kind of artist are you? What are your disciplines?
I have been mostly painting for the last 4 or 5 years. And the technique that I'm employing is I cut stencils and use spray paint. Mostly.
Great. I would imagine household spray paint?
Yep, right out of one of our big box home improvement centers, straight out of their regular spray paint. Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been in Hudson?
I moved to Hudson full-time at the end of February of this year.
And where'd you come from?
From Frenchtown, New Jersey, which is right along the Delaware River.
And what were you doing there?
I was doing art, and I also do carpentry and home improvement, furniture building, cabinet building. But I had transitioned over the last 4 or 5 years from doing that exclusively to doing more artwork.
Why Hudson? Why did you choose Hudson?
Well, where I was from had a great artistic energy. It's really close to the Bucks County area, which has a lot of landscape and still life painters and artists, and there's a lot of good energy there. But I was feeling kind of stuck, and I wanted to orient myself to a community that had a little bit more of a cosmopolitan vibe. And
had you been to Hudson before?
No. My partners in the 46 Green Street project, Dave Schwing and Bob Bacigalupi, live in Hillsdale, and they suggested that this might be a good place to relocate and to explore my creative energy in a new context. So I came up here last year for the first time during Winter Walk and experienced Hudson for the first time then.
Boy, you are a newbie, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So you spoke about 46 Green Street. Mm-hmm. I actually, shame to say I haven't been there before. So for our listeners, how would you describe?
Well, 46 Green Street Studios is in a building that formerly housed Planned Parenthood. Hmm. And when Planned Parenthood consolidated onto Fairview, the building was empty for a while. And Dave, one of the owners, knew I was looking for a place to set up a studio and do some work. And he suggested coming up and developing the space to create studios for artists to work in and a living space for me to be the artist in residence and a gallery in the front for us to curate. And so when I came up to Hudson during Winter Walk, I was pleasantly surprised to find that there wasn't just one traffic light and some cows, because never having been up here, I didn't know what to expect. And I was really blown away by the artistic energy up here and also the openness of the people that I encountered. Mm. Artists, curators, gallery owners. It's been a really amazing experience connecting with people up here in a way that I hadn't done before.
And we were talking earlier about the specific location, and a lot of people don't know where Green Street is, and as you were mentioning, some people consider it Route 9.
Yeah. Some people who have been here for a while recognize if I tell them I'm next to the liquor store that used to be a car dealer. I don't know if it's because they knew the liquor store
that helps.
Or they know the car dealer. But if you are, if you're at the park,
7th Street Park,
7th Street Park, and you're heading east on Columbia, you'll be asked to either veer to the right or to the left. And if you veer to the left, that's Green Street, and we're shortly after that intersection on the left-hand side.
And we're talking There's the waterfront at the river.
Mm-hmm.
Below Third is an area, and now the area that we are, at least the Hudson WGXC studio, is at 7th Street Park. Now we're into the what's being called the east end of Hudson. Is that correct?
That's how it's been termed to me. Peter at Stoddard's Corner came to our open house earlier in the year, and he introduced me to the concept of the east end of Hudson, which I thought was neat.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
So what was the first experience of putting a show together like?
It was really interesting. I hadn't had the opportunity to run a gallery or curate a show before on my own, but I had helped a friend of mine in Frenchtown, and it is a lot of work, and in some ways I feel like I'm kind of reinventing the wheel. Mm. So I've since reached out to a lot of resources that have been really great about giving me information about timing and scheduling. It was actually a lot of fun. We had a show, a soft opening for a show that we organized around the theme of repurposed. Hmm. And we had a really good a lot of people came out to the event, and we really didn't advertise it as well as we should have. Hmm. And I think that the work show, which we were opening this Saturday, I think will be much better attended because I've had the opportunity to connect with a lot of resources in the community through social media and also just by making networking connections in the old-fashioned, you know, real-time talking face-to-face.
What are the forms of promotion that you end up doing? I mean, you were talked about a soft opening, and certainly getting the word out is not always easy. Postage, postcards are getting to be expensive. So I would imagine you use social media a lot.
I found Facebook has been amazing for my work and also for the gallery and the studios. You can connect so quickly with an ever-extending network of people and keep them informed in real time about stuff that's going on. And a lot of people have found my work and also the gallery and the studios through Facebook. I've also used, I connected recently with IMBY, and I've done some stuff on them. And I know there's other resources in and around Hudson that I haven't accessed yet that I need to. I know there's a website. The URL is escaping me. Is it Art in Hudson?
Artinhudson.org.
I need to touch base with them. And
how about WGXC.org?
WGXC is also another great resource.
They have a great event calendar.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in the learning process as far as that goes, and I think that the next show will be better attended than this one, and as it goes along, that's what's going to happen.
Well, talk about the show that's going to open.
Okay. I invited artists to submit work based on the theme of work. Just work, whatever they wanted to do as they were inspired by that concept. And I've gotten some really, really cool pieces. People have really personalized the way they look at the concept of work. And it's nice to see how diverse those interpretations and those expressions could be.
And who's in the show?
Well, we have a few local artists. Tatiana Kloxman is in the show. Tim Ebneth, Michael Tong, Pauline DeKarma. I have some pieces in the show. And also some folks from out of town. Marissa Woodrow, Mary Ward, Dion Hitchings. And I think I'm forgetting somebody, but if it comes to me, I'll... If I haven't forgotten somebody, great. But if I have, I apologize to the forgotten person.
And are all those names on your website?
I am going to be today putting up links to each of these artists' websites, if they have them, Facebook pages, bios, artist statements, so they'll be able to access information about them.
And right now, what is your sort of plan for each show? Do you expect to have it up for a month or 6 weeks or 2 months? And how many shows a year would you like to do?
Well, the first show I had up for a month and realized that was way too short. Hmm. It's a lot of work for not very much time. So this show is going to be up until the end of January.
Great.
And what I'm planning on is 4 shows, roughly a year. That would be up for about 2 months each. And then the balance of the time, developing artists who would be in the gallery full time.
Now, is this taking up a lot of your own personal time to create? Can you do that and more?
It takes a lot of time. I'm lucky that the partners I have in the studios are willing to take up tasks that the systems need to be done that I don't have energy to do. So that's helpful, because then the stuff that I do, I feel I'm competent at and I can put my full attention towards and not really procrastinate about the stuff that I don't care about. But it's a tough balance. I noticed that I haven't been doing that much art recently in my own name for myself.
Yeah.
But I still feel like my creative energy is flowing. It's something very powerful about interacting with creative folks who are collaborative and energetic about their work. And I find that if I get sort of stuck creatively, that just talking to artists or people who have a creative bent so opens up different pathways that allow me to consider different subjects, different techniques, which is really one of the reasons why I love being in Hudson, because you can't throw a cat, as they say, without hitting an artist or a creative creative person. So it's a really dynamic place.
Now, I've seen a little bit of your stencil work, and not having done stencil work myself, can you explain the process and how you create that?
Yeah, oftentimes I'll work from photographs, and what I do is I'll create a stencil from 3 to 5 different gray values, different lightness and darknesses of color. And then I'll just build an image up by painting layer after layer to create the final image.
So you're taking some kind of paper product and putting an image and cutting
yeah, what
it
I'll
out?
Do is I'll cut out of a manila folder or a poster board. If the stencils are really large, I'll use poster board, but if they're relatively small, I'll use manila folders.
And I would imagine you're also a fan of graffiti art.
I am. One of the thing that really got me interested in pursuing this medium in this way was people like Shepard Fairey and Banksy. There's a guy in the Netherlands, Fake, and some other people in the city who were doing these large-scale street works and using stencil. And so I thought it would be interesting to see if I could do that on a really small scale. So a lot of the first stencils were tiny, maybe 4x6.
It was small.
And the challenge of cutting something that small and getting any kind of detail with spray paint, I thought was a real challenge. And then I eventually decided I'd really like to do some big stuff. So that first got me started, the idea of creating art that both is very meticulous and very, very, very quick. The planning and cutting of the stencils is laborious and mind-numbing sometimes. But the process of doing the painting is very physical and quick. And it's I almost don't have time to think because the paint dries so quickly. And I don't just put the paint on. I'll do stuff to it to create different effects. And so I've become mindful of how long it takes for the paint to dry, and if I want to do a certain effect, how quickly I have to do something to it. So it's nice to have that sort of mindless, emotional animal type of activity, but also the really meticulous and thoughtful stencil cutting.
So it almost seems like a silkscreen process in a way.
There is that bit of it, and I had considered exploring silkscreen, but the thing I really liked about stenciling was the challenge of creating an image that allowed that had all this negative space that you had to keep. With a stencil, you can have some negative image floating.
Yeah.
But with a stencil, it's got to be attached. Everything's got to be attached. And so to create an image that with that extra challenge, you know, it seemed like it'd be a great way to beat myself up a little bit and, you know, make it difficult.
And, I mean, I would imagine you were the one who gave that nice green color to your studio building.
I did pick the green.
I like that green.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, Dave and Bob were, they sort of pushed us to create a name that would help people find us.
That's good.
And so I thought I'd take advantage of the color of the street and use it in the logo. So what I'm trying to do is that color is in our logo. Mm-hmm. It's in our signage. And so I'm trying to, you know, keep a branding going with that particular charcoal gray and the red that we have around the door and the green. So that's going to be kind of how we're noticed.
Have you considered doing art right on the building, graffiti art?
We are. The wall that faces east is in need of a little bit of repair. And once I do that, we have two different plans. One is to create one big mural, and the other is to create a space for a semi-permanent mural, and then a space for artists who have, you know, who, if we invite and they want to do it, they can create something that would be a temporary installation.
What about the possibility of doing that kind of graffiti art as a project? I mean, certainly Hudson could be a chosen location, but anything like that in your future?
I'm certainly open to and interested in exploring how artists and the community can collaborate, especially in Hudson, to do something of a public art piece. The challenge is getting building owners to sign up. Mm-hmm. And sign a board. 'Cause as fun as Banksy is, there's legal issues with tagging buildings. And I don't know that that's necessarily what we want to do here in Hudson. But public art and making art available to the community at large is something that I would love to explore. I this growing curiosity about the boundaries that are put up between art and people who appreciate art, whether they be admission price to get into a museum or the price of a painting in a gallery. You know, there's a lot of folks in the community, either because of time or resources, don't get access to art that either speaks to their community or comes from the community. And I think public art is a way that we might be able to bridge that gap of a need that I think is out there.
I happen to like what just went up recently at 3rd and Warren Street in front of Lily and Lou was the yarn, knitting of the yarn around trees and right now parking is free in Hudson, so people are taking the opportunity on their own, which is great. It's what is being asked to do, is covering the parking meters in a creative way, and I would love to see that more as since it's free parking for December, artists to do cover the meter art. Mm-hmm. Is public art. I mean, I'd love to see more of that.
Yeah, I was really excited to see the yarn project. Frenchtown, where I came from, had a very similar project the year before I left. And it was really amazing to see, just to see trees and stuff covered with yarn.
Yeah.
Is pretty amazing. But also man-made stuff, signs and sign poles. It was really cool. So it was fun to see that, you know, especially because it was a community of knitters.
Mm-hmm.
Giving something of their work right to the public to enjoy for free, which was great.
I'd love to see more. And the public art aspect, I'm sure is kind of confusing to the public at large. I mean, for artists, it's just another form of expression and getting it out to people to see, having it be seen more often. But from public's point of view, it might be confusing in a sense of maybe not understanding why it was done. I don't know. What's your feeling about public art in general? Because, you know, when I think about, you brought up Banksy, even Shepherd Ferry, there's certainly at least Shepard's work is very graphic, which I personally like the graphic work of it. And sometimes I could be wrong. Sometimes it's just there without any reason for. And sometimes it's meant to be sort of guerrilla art. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's planned. What's your take on public art?
I think that there's a couple of tracks that public art can take. I think some artists put stuff out there just out of whimsy and creating a fun environment for the people who are in that space to enjoy. So there's no political or social commentary to be made. And I think other artists will post something or put something up that is meant to stir dialogue and discussion. Mm. And I think that's great. There's not enough dialogue and discussion going on in communities, it seems, anyway. And if people could just talk about, even if they like or don't like the piece, at least they're talking about art.
Yeah.
And they're interacting. And I think that there's also a track where artists can actually be the voice of their community. They might be articulating something wordlessly that the community is, you know, it's bubbling up in the community. And to have that expression there, again, creates discussion among people in the community, which is great. And it also, it has a possibility of telling the community something of the artist's perception of the world at large. I mean, I guess I'm predisposed to like public art.
That's fine.
And it's curious to me when there's, especially if there's not a property damage issue or, I can see where people might have a problem with vulgarity or, you know, something that's kind of hard to take in public. Mm. But I guess I'm so disconnected from the idea that public art is an offense if it's just like someone puts a teddy bear out and says, look at me, I'm a teddy bear.
Yeah. Unless there's a message behind it that the artist is asking us to look deeper into. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that surface, you say teddy bear, oh, that's so cute. Well, maybe that's not the intention.
Correct. Yeah. I find that the really fascinating part of public art. I mean, I like that about it. Mm. And I know some people don't like to be challenged in that way in the public. I'm not sure how I would respond to that.
What are some of the things that you have found that you like about what you see here in Hudson? Some of the stores or galleries that, for you, inspire you?
Well, I'm just in general, the diversity of the types of art that you see in the different galleries is really great. It's one of the reasons why I got energized to curate a gallery here, because I thought that, you know, I wouldn't be redundant and I could create a niche with the work that I like. I like the design stuff that's going on. Mm. The work that is done by Grain is great. The light fixtures and the furniture. I really like, you know, I kind of make furniture and I like the style and the quality of the work that he does. I always get this backwards. Is it culture and commerce or commerce and culture? But the stuff that Sherry has in her shop.
Culture and commerce.
Culture and commerce. It's really a great mix of design. And I'm kind of drawn to the really funky light fixtures that she has. I kind of like that stuff. And I like the fact that as I walk down Warren, it's small businesses that are the reflection of the owners. For the money, yeah, they're all small businesses. Yeah. I don't see any big boxes, so I like that.
How different was is Hudson, say, to Frenchtown?
Yeah, it's bigger. It's more centrally. This is like a little city. Frenchtown was like a small town in a big farm community. This is much more like a city and more cosmopolitan. It's farther from New York, but easier to get to.
Mm.
Because of the train, and I think the energy of the folks here, it's there's a lot of people who are here intentionally because they're creative, and there's a creative community. And it wasn't so much that in Frenchtown. There happened to be artists there. People come here because of the community. And there seems to be a real enthusiasm for creating connections among folks that we encounter. Hmm. I felt it was really strange. Like the first week I was here, I went into a place and people, like a bar, and people chatted with me. Like that really wouldn't happen in Frenchtown. Not that they're not friendly, but it seems like it's a more outward looking community here, looking to bring people into it. Those are the big differences. Yeah.
Yeah. I personally like to walk up and down streets here in Hudson, and you know, you come across someone that you've never met before, and having spent a lot of time in New York City, there's certainly the eyes straight ahead kind of mode of walking. But here, I try and draw people's eyes to my eyes, and maybe there's nothing said, but you just kind of want to say, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I think still a lot of people are afraid of that, so maybe I do scare some people.
I've had the same experience. I'm drawn to do that, but it's so outside of what I'm used to doing. But when I've done it, I've always gotten a real, you know, smile or a hello. And I think it's sort of like changing my wiring to expect that you walk by someone, you see, you know, you look at them and say hi. And I kind of like that. I feel much more connected to the community.
Yeah. And in some ways, Tom, maybe I'm like out there a little bit, but it's almost like public art. I could put that label on it as approaching people, mm-hmm. whether it's my, you know, my art, and my art is visual or my art is personal. So, you know, I'm going to, from this conversation that we're having, I'm going to expand on that a little bit more and see what happens.
Well, there's certainly something akin to performance in that.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of energy in Hudson because of the project, you know, right down the road with Marina's building, and performance art, and I like what you're talking about. It's sort of like this mixing of media, visual, physical, relational, not just in a specific time and place, but over the course of time and space, and how that evolves. One of the really fascinating things, and I always get a kick out of it, it's almost as much as selling a piece, is, you know, having someone talk to you about what they think of it.
Mm.
And when they find something in it that I wasn't really intending, but can see it, I mean, it makes the piece, that's the piece growing and growing. And I'm looking to create stuff that's kind of open-ended that way, where people can find their own thing about it. And I think there's something about this, you know, this performance, real-time interaction thing that has something of that to it.
That's why I think a lot of people, when it comes to public art, for instance, St. Winifred, to me, the statue at Promenade Hill, is public art. And it's been there a very long time, and it has its home there. And there's other public art that you kind of, like in a gallery setting, you'd like to see it changed out every 4 to 8 weeks. And I think public art has a home.
I think you're right. I mean, the art that's durational, that lasts for a while, reflects the community's history. And in some ways, even if you're new to a community, you sort of buy into the history and it becomes part of your culture. And you struggle with it. And I know that changes over time. And sometimes the original historical significance of a figure that's in a statue will be lost, but the connection over time of that statue in the community is really, it's precious and valuable to the community. And like what you're saying, when things change out, it reflects the community's, you know, struggle with reality and how they grapple with, you know, the way the world changes and how they change with it or don't change, if the case is that they don't change.
Well, back to the stencil work. Do you keep all your stencils once you've created something?
I do.
That must be quite an archive you have.
It is. It's becoming a storage problem. Yes.
So will you revisit something that you may have done years ago?
Sometimes I do. In the past, more so than recently, I've done series where I've used a stencil over and over again, sometimes changing the color, sometimes changing its context. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll do a stencil of something that's easily recognizable. It could be the Virgin Mary. It could be the University of California Davis pepper spray cup. And I'll relate them to things out of their context to sort of stir a little dialogue, a little something.
Yeah.
And sometimes I use those frequently.
The cop's not going to spray the Virgin Mary.
He has.
Oh, yeah.
He's sprayed a lot of cultural icons, yes.
I guess good for him. Well, and that's, you know, another commentary of for every action, there's a reaction, and that action of that police officer it lives on in different forms and incarnations. When you're using that icon, is there always the same message that you're saying, or?
No, I don't think so. I think sometimes he represents.
Is he your muse?
No, but he represents what he is in some. In some, he represents a irresponsible use of power. And in some cases, he might represent something that is outside of power altogether. He might represent the struggle that I think we often see in this community, in the States anyway, of how we value art, how we value, in the school systems, we see art programs are being phased out because of underfunding. You know, those are the choices that a lot of school districts make. And it's the question is, like, why art? You know, art is such a to me, art is such a valuable part of the development process for young people, their brains and their interactive skills. To lose that, it changes the way we train people to be citizens in our society. And we've, as a community, made that choice. And so sometimes he's spraying dancers and painters and.
Yeah. You said this show that you have up now will be up for 2 months. Mm-hmm. How far ahead do you curate and think about what you want to do?
It's a good question. Hopefully I'd be thinking about the next one the beginning of next month.
Yeah, you just can't do it right now because your mind's wrapped around the artists. And.
But it's a good question. That's one of the things that I have been struggling with is setting up a schedule so that I know when artists need to be invited, you know, when advertising needs to start, when I need to get stuff to the gallery, just so it's, I'm not thinking about it every time. Because what happens is I'll get busy and then like a week will get lost somewhere. And it's like, oh, where did that week go? And I'm behind. So I'm in the process of putting a calendar together so that the calendar will just tell me what to do. All I have to do is come up with a theme and then do the work.
Does this show officially open this Saturday?
This Saturday.
And you're, this Saturday is Winter Walk, and you've decided to, which I think is a great idea, is to have the reception during the day, which I would imagine allows the hordes of people who come to Hudson to partake of Hudson in its Winter Walk sense.
Well, that was my hope. I knew I couldn't compete with Winter Walk, so I thought I would partner with it in a way.
Good.
And just projecting what I would, if I was coming to Hudson for Winter Walk, I'd come earlier in the day. And I thought it'd be great to have a place where people can go to enjoy some art and some refreshments and to chat before going to Warren Street. And I wanted to have the opening before Winter Walk because I wanted to do Winter Walk myself. And
yeah, of
so
course.
So part of it was selfish motivation. I just didn't want to miss it.
And we're talking about visual art in the sense of, you know, walking into a gallery or seeing something on the side of a wall. Do you have any thoughts as to the future of art and how you might change technology or technology is changing the way that either A, you do art or B, you show art?
Yeah, I do. In the last show, we had a piece by an artist, Nina Burley. It was she did a short film that was looped. So we had a computer monitor on which this was shown. And she set it up in a shadow box, which had some sculptural elements, some painting elements. And I think that there's more and more video and audio that are being incorporated into art. And in a lot of ways, there's still resistance to that, I hear, in some places. Mm. But I think that there's more and more openness to it as an art form. I think there's going to be more of that going on. I'm really struck with when I'm in Manhattan and going into galleries, you see shows where the pieces can't possibly be bought. They're these huge installations that are essentially the experience. And I'm really curious about exploring doing something like that. And also the other side of that is, how does one sustain oneself as an artist if you're creating art that's just to be experienced? I think there's something in that akin to public art. You know, artists being a voice, perhaps, of a community, and, you know, the community and the artist finding a way to support him or herself in the community and to be a free voice. I'm not sure how that is, but I'm really curious about that as a concept and how to explore doing that. Because it seems like the model is, get yourself into a mega gallery, get branded, and make millions of dollars. And that's great for the few that do that.
Yeah, very few.
Yeah. But I wonder, you know, is their art then affected by the influence of, you know, that position they put themselves in?
Do you know many artists that actually do art full-time? Oh, Tatiana is right here.
Yep, Tatiana
does. She just raised her hand. Good for you, Tatiana.
I don't know many that can do it full time without having something on the side, like a little something.
Yeah, and for you, it could be carpentry.
It's carpentry. Also, developing this project has been great. I mean, the great thing about carpentry is, when the economy tanked, I lost a lot of work, so I got to do a lot of artwork, which was great.
Now it's the upside.
That was the upside. So yeah, but I'm moving towards trying to have art be the way I sustain myself.
Tatiana, you're in the studio. We don't have headphones for you, but you do have a microphone. Can you just introduce yourself to the listeners and the art that you create?
Sure. My name's Tatiana Klaxman. Like Tom, I'm new to Hudson, and I will be in the upcoming work show at 46 Green Street. And I make mixed media pieces, largely collage. Some of them are very large installations, and some of them are smaller, more purchasable pieces. But I am a full-time artist.
Good for you.
Like Tom was saying, I also do many things on the side. But I think with a full-time artist, it's the artwork that's the continuous thread. So many things. I do many, many things. I wear many hats, but it's the artwork that I wake up every day for.
Is it always the collage or the installation art, or do you like to do other kinds? What inspires you?
I have to say, living in Hudson is pretty inspiring. Even walking down the street and coming across this juxtaposition of things that are beautiful but not necessarily practical is sort of, to me, an artist's fantasy. That, and it's always changing. So just walking down the street and seeing a gigantic neck bone of a whale next to two sets of enormous hands and a little tiny model of a boat. I might go back to the studio, and with collage, like with stencil, it allows me to create these juxtapositions and try to find meaning or suggest narrative through these juxtapositions.
So you get inspired by the lovely windows of Hudson.
Yeah, I do. I do.
And so can you talk a little bit about the work that you have at 46 Green?
The work at 46 Green is a diorama. It's a box that's wall-mounted. And it has figures that are a dialogue between technology and handcraft. So I took digital pictures of myself and through collage combined them with scans of Gothic imagery and then used drawing, manual, very, very exact manual drawing to fuse those two elements. I also combined those with printmaking. They have wings, they're winged figures, and the wings are wood blocks. So this idea of things that are reproducible and yet unique. So at one time, they're both things that have taken advantage of mechanical reproduction and manual reproduction with the printmaking, but also because they're drawing, they are, each one is unique. So exploring that sort of boundary between something that's special and something that is reproducible.
And are you showing anywhere besides 46 Green?
Yes, I have locally work that is on display at Thompson Giroux Gallery currently in the Aura Fiery Inspiration Show.
That's great. And I don't recall that venue. Where is that?
On Main Street in Chatham.
So you are now living in Hudson?
I live in Hudson. Like Tom, I'm recent addition to the area.
Where'd you come from?
And I moved from Georgia. And I think in a lot of ways, very similar story where I had never been to Hudson before I moved here and was looking for a very supportive arts community. And that was one of the things that drew me to the area.
Now, I'll ask a question of both of you. Could be a little out there, but can you see yourself or 5 years from now where you might like to be? Not that you will be, unless you're that driven and knowing where you want to go. Where does it look like 5 years from now?
Well, I see myself in this community, making art, developing, you know, my artwork, and also the building that I run has studio space for artists. So the artists in that building will create a community. And I'm really curious about developing an artistic community, both in the building and also with the other artists in town, which has already started and has been really, really fantastic.
Tatiana, you have a vision plan?
I do have a vision, but I feel like so much of my work relies on me being in the moment and taking in things as they come.
Great.
That I don't actually think a lot too far into the future. So, and one of the things I feel like we've been talking about is the idea of accessibility in art, public art. So I do see myself interacting with the community, and I see myself trying to make my art accessible, whether that's here or whether that's somewhere else. Some of that depends how it goes. But I certainly hope to be here in 5 years.
I like that idea. You'll be here in 5 years. But I'm kind of curious what you might be creating 5 years from now. I know a lot of it is abstract because who knows, but I was just talking to somebody today that time is flying by so quickly. It's a shame, but that's just the way it is. That's just time. And today will be tomorrow's yesterday, which for me sometimes is kind of sad because today was so good. But then, you know, we just keep moving forward. And there is, I think, for me, I like to have some kind of planning, but I also like to have some leeway for surprises to happen. I mean, what are some happy surprises for the two of you that have happened to you, whether it's creation or... Tatiana was talking about the whalebone. I mean, just coming across that, I mean, that's kind of a surprise, a happy surprise.
Definitely.
Anything?
Well, I found that being in this community, I feel like I'm in a context that frees me up creatively. And I feel there's less boundaries in what I can explore. And I feel like one of the really great surprises is that there's so many opportunities to get really good feedback from creative folk that I don't find I'm getting stuck. Like, it's almost real-time altering and editing of my work, which has been really fantastic.
Let me think. One of the surprises, anyway, Tatiana was talking about storefronts, and one of the things I like are signs, business signs. I'd certainly love to see that more. And Tom, your work is so conducive to signage, shingles, you might say.
Right.
Business shingles.
Yeah, well, I did the sign for the building, and it's, you're right, it lends itself towards making signs and many of them.
Public art, in a way.
Yeah.
Letting people know someone's there or something is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of when I was segueing into technology. I sometimes wonder what's next for technology and how to express oneself. And I like Tatiana's viewpoint of the sort of the three-dimensional aspect of visual art and taking a step further. And I wonder what's new, what's going to be new.
Well, maybe it's new to me, but I think that there's something interesting in exploring in the exploration of performance as art with other artistic outlets. Again, that's probably relatively new to me, but I think there's something in that. That there's, it may be not technologically something that's going to be explored, but I think just there's an acceptance of the odd in a way that maybe not before, or maybe just odd enough. And I think that that's where things might be moving, more installation stuff, more performance stuff.
I personally like seeing your artwork on the computer. Mm-hmm. When I went to your website, and it has a very animated look to it. Whether the message is dark or light, there's an animation to it. And I don't know if you've ever considered animating your work.
No, that's actually interesting. And when you say that, I'm reminded that when I scan the stuff or photograph it to put on my website, when I see it on the computer, sometimes I see it very differently.
Mm. Yeah,
it's like, oh wow, that's pretty cool, or that doesn't work. But sometimes it's very different, and that's really be worth exploring, because technology allows for animation so much to do animation so much more easily now. There's certainly something in that.
Yeah, with the GIFs that people are doing, which are kind of funny sometimes when you see them, but sometimes they're. In a very short period of time, so much is said in with an image that maybe changes three or four times. It's kind of, what was the, from mid-20th century, those little flicker things? You'd see a cowboy on a horse rear up, or you don't see much of that anymore. But I like that kind of, that's sort of a GIF.
It is, yeah. And I know that Tumblr, which is a site I don't use a lot, but it's for sharing and adding to this reservoir of both still images and also GIFs. A lot of them are these little short GIFs that are oftentimes really funny, but also really interesting in the way they take these maybe four or five different stills and create relationship and moment and movement within them.
I'm afraid I opened Pandora's box, because GIF, I don't know what it stands for, the GIF. Either of you, but you know,
yes, good question.
I'll have to go home and research that, see what that is. What else can we talk about, since we're just in art conversation?
Well, I have noticed that there has been a ongoing public art project in Hudson, where art has been posted for people to find and take.
I was hoping you were going to mention that.
It's interesting. I have some awareness of the energy behind it, And so I can speak to it a little bit. I mean, it is a group of artists who have created work and put out for people to find in and around the Hudson area and outside of Hudson as well. And there's been a lot of great energy I've noticed on there's a Facebook page for it.
That's what I've seen, yeah.
White Rabbit Anonymous Public Art Project. And it's really fascinating to see people get excited about finding art and posting their finds.
It's almost like an Easter egg hunt. It's because I've seen it posted on Facebook, and it's some hints as to where this art might be found. And do you think they're, once they're established, how long do you think they stay up? Or,
well, the pieces.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen where a piece has been posted, a clue's been posted, and it's almost like found right away. So there might be people following it to guess it, but I've also noticed that a good number of people who find stuff actually reinstall it for other people to find.
That's great.
And
somewhere else?
Somewhere else in Hudson. Yeah, and also that more and more people are actually putting stuff out. So it seems to be maybe four or five, maybe six different people putting stuff out for people to find.
Do you think this will continue through the winter?
It'd be nice if it did. I mean, I would love to be involved in it.
Yes, I think it will. Yeah. With six or so artists maybe involved, yeah, chances are good, I think, that it'll continue. And especially, I feel like this is an asset that social media has in terms of public art, is that more and more people become aware of it and get involved, it does increase the probability that it can become self-sustaining as a project.
Now, is Facebook the only form of letting it known that there is art and where it might be seen?
Yes.
So you have to be somewhat Facebook
savvy.
You have savvy
to be on Facebook. Oh, although I do know that some stuff has been posted on IMBY, IMBY. I would suggest that, you know, Gossips of Rivertown might be a good outlet if it could be connected to that in some way. And I don't know, any other?
It's a good question. I mean, how do you use technology or non-technology?
Yeah.
And of course, there's the artwork itself, which may contain information on it. So.
Oh. Do you have an example of something recent that you've seen?
I believe some of the artwork contains information with email through which people can post their finds or send their finds via email. So people who weren't connected to, say, Facebook, for example, but had email may be able to participate in the project that way.
I think most of the images I've seen have been rabbits or hares, and the one that really intrigued me was the meat market. One, I thought that was terrific. Do either of you know where that's located, or is it there anymore?
Well, I saw that posting, and it looked like it was down by the train station, if you make a right off of Front to go to the waterfront, there's that bridge.
Ferry Street Bridge, I think that is.
I think so, yeah. And I took the train to the city yesterday. I didn't see it there, so I think it's gone.
Maybe someone's collected it.
It's possible.
Hopefully.
It's possible. But nobody has claimed it on their Facebook page.
I know. There was a very unfortunate incident that I'll bring up. It was a few years ago. A previous administration, Hudson administration, where there was an artist, son of HUD. I don't know if you've heard. It was public art, and son of HUD, and I don't know who son of HUD is or was, but had done plywood art pieces and had attached them to like a street sign post. And it wasn't long up until the city and DPW took it down. I was really surprised because it was very well done art, and it was in the paper. They showed all the pieces in the back of a pickup truck being carted away. I, I, I don't think that's going to happen again, especially with the quality of art that we're seeing now with these stencils. And there was the public art project of the children, the posters of children that were on the sides of buildings. Mm-hmm. I certainly like to see more work like that done and shared. And I think the sharing aspect is why public art is controversial in a way. Sometimes people don't like sharing.
Mm-hmm. There's something about free art that scares people, I think.
Well, if and when I do come across one of these pieces, I'm probably more inclined to look at it and enjoy it and let it be and have it shared. That'll be my sharing experience. Although I certainly would like to have one myself personally, but shared art, I'd like to have it shared.
I think it'd be great if what this creates is energy in the community for anybody who has the yen to put something out, you know, kids, grandparents. I think it'd be fantastic. I mean, there's plenty of bulletin boards in town. People could just put something up. It'd be great.
Aren't too many bulletin boards.
There's a couple.
Oh, there's a couple.
Well, maybe there's just one. I know there's one.
Well, we're getting kind of close to the end of this hour, which went by very quickly. And Tom and Tatiana, thank you for coming in. And I'm going to get ready to close this out, but I just wanted to remind our listeners, this has been The Art of the Hudson Valley, and I'm your host, Chad Weckler. I'm here once a month, first Thursday afternoon of the month from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, and thankfully, WGXC, you're listening live on the radio, 90.7 FM, and it streams globally, which I think is fantastic. WGXC has a lot of listeners around the globe. You'd think it's only the Hudson Valley, but there are a lot of people are fans of the radio station and at all hours of the day and night. So I think that's a sharing aspect that I like about WGXC and community radio. So it's kind of public art in a way.
Oh, it's a great resource for the community.
I mean, look at you guys. You've been sharing your art with the world.
Yeah.
So there's another technological arm to get the word out and who you are and what you do. And we'll be attracting more people to Hudson, probably.
That's the goal.
And we're talking Georgia and New Jersey in the room. And I'm originally from California, but here we are in Hudson, New York, Columbia County. So you do have a website, Tom. What is that website?
The website for the studios is 46greenstreetstudios.com.
And that's G-R-E-E-N, no E on
no
the
A.
end of green.
Correct.
I sometimes get that wrong, Green County and Green Street. And mm-hmm. And you do have your own personal art website.
Yeah, my personal website is kiwital.com, KiwiTail.
What does that stand for?
My youngest daughter's nickname is Kiwi, and my oldest daughter's name is Taylor, so.
Oh, you're a good father.
I put those together.
Our hour, and I will be taking us to the next program, so please continue listening in. And give me a few moments, and we'll get you connected to the next program. Thank you for listening. This is WGXC 90.7 FM.